And now it's time for us to discuss more of these headlines and simple keywords with Adam joining us via Zoom. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Lena, and happy Friday, and happy World Sleep Day.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. It is actually a day.
No, does that warrant that we sleep in or try to get quality sleep? So, okay, that's our cue to exit. Bye, everyone.
Well, that's something that doesn't really relate to us, but yes, it is a World Sleep Day. Nonetheless, yeah, it is an annual event.
You know what, Adam? Like 4 years into this gig, I'm a little bit better about maintaining quality sleep.
Oh, yeah.
She said so confidently.
You've become accustomed, have you? I'm still struggling.
To each their own. It's a World Sleep Day, so hope all of our listeners are getting better quality sleep anyway. Okay, let's jump into our keyword news portion of the day. As we've been doing for the last 2 weeks, we're covering the details and the prolonged standoff between doctors and the government. So let's begin there. Our first keyword of the day.
Professor's Mall resignation.
So after collective walkouts by residents and medical students, now medical school professors will also decide if they should follow suit. That's today. What comes next, Adam?
Yeah, so there's been some pressure. The professors are trying to become like a mediator in these tense standoff, if you will, between the government and the medical community. But now they're kind of thinking about collective walkouts as well themselves, or mass resignations. And they believe in protecting patients, but they also feel they must stand up for their students too. Now, medical professors from 19 universities, including big names like Seoul National University and Yonsei University, formed a group to talk about quitting. And they want to finish this talk by the end of the day. So by the end of today, we might have an answer to whether they will be resigning collectively. Now, Tohoe University's medical professors have already come together opposing the government's push to increase admissions and supporting the actions of residents and students who have left. There's been students as well boycotting classes. They've decided to rebuild their professor association to fulfill their duty to protect their students. Similarly, professors at Gyeongsang National University and Daegu Catholic University have shown willingness to resign if sanctions and other legal repercussions are imposed on residents or medical students. The government has been, of course, issuing out notices of license suspensions that has been met with criticism from residents and the medical community alike. Chungguk National University's medical professors plan to decide on their course of action after gathering opinions this weekend. The government and schools are asking the professors not to quit. Of course, the government has been saying that for the past few days now, and schools, of course, so they'll be losing some faculty members as well. So they're also not very happy with such moves. Now, meanwhile, the issue deepens and tensions are getting more tense, with residents seeking help from the International Labour Organization against the government's order to return to work. They sent a letter to the ILO because they believe the government's actions, like preventing resignations and orders to return to work, go against an ILO convention Korea agreed to back in 2021. Now, the government argues that its orders are legitimate and not covered by the ILO convention, which has exceptions for situations where the public's health and safety are at risk. So, of course, that agreement and that signing on to the convention happened before the or amidst the pandemic, or the start of the pandemic as well. And so there was that exception for where the public's health and safety are at risk. But yeah, so we'll have to see how the ILO deliberates on that, if it does at all. But yeah, tensions are just getting even more frosty as the days go by.
It does look like the government is absolutely adamant about sticking to their annually 2,000 increase admissions for med school. But there's certain sources, government officials, saying that 80% of those of which are, I almost said enlisted, brought into the new school system each year might be allocated to regional areas where they're lacking doctors and lacking infrastructure.
Yeah, so these professors, I think they're starting to feel like any kind of possibilities of talks are deteriorating because the government just recently as well, the education ministry said that it's ruled out basically negotiations on plans to hike medical students. Sorry, the health ministry, not the education ministry, has ruled out those talks. So, yeah, they're kind of putting their foot down, retaining their hardline stance against this. So, the situation is only being exacerbated as you speak.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. I'm sure we'll talk about it again come next Monday. Let's move on to our second keyword today, a potential to construct our own superhighway. Is this a good idea? Our second keyword of the day.
Korean Autobahn.
So President Yoon has pledged to construct a highway similar to Germany's Autobahn in South Jeolla province. He made the pledge during a town hall meeting there. Run us through the plan. Both of us, a little bit of hesitancy because, well, if you've seen the driving conditions in Korea.
I was about to say, but I'll keep my opinions to myself. Mm. But Yoon said the superhighway would cost about 2.6 trillion won and start with a plan on the details this year. It'll connect Yeongnam and Gwangju and will stretch 47 kilometers. He said the highway could be used as a test bed as well for autonomous driving vehicles in line with his campaign pledges and could help to improve both transportation and tourism to the region. Now, a highway with no speed limit, but also a test bed for autonomous vehicles. I don't know if that's a good mix.
It's a little bit early on in the plan, so maybe we'll wait for more details. But from where we stand right now, even the technology behind autonomous driving, that's another blaring red flag. But nonetheless, the plan, the very early stages of the plan are in the works.
Yeah, they are in the works. And he also revealed plans to pick up the pace on construction, which is actually ongoing, of the Gwangju, Gangin, and Gangjin Wando highways as well. Now, Yoon also plans to connect inland Iksan to coastal Yeosu with a high-speed rail network. He aims to address complaints about the current slow speeds by investing over 1 trillion won for improvements. He also plans to innovate South Jeolla's industrial infrastructure and foster future industries. He refers to the construction of an automated port at Gwangyang Port, saying that logistics will be streamlined through a 700 billion won automation testbed construction project. Now, another project is to build a civilian rocket launch pad in Gwangju County. Additionally, he mentioned making Gwangyang and Suncheon special zones for economic development, offering tax incentives to attract businesses. He also aims to enhance agriculture, fisheries, and combat illegal fishing by Chinese vessels, promising stronger enforcement measures. And he also vowed to invest 1.3 trillion won in the region's tourism industry as well, creating an animation cluster in the city of Suncheon. And he mentioned that it's going to be an area of K-Disney. We all know how we feel about putting the letter K in front of everything, but it is what it is. So might as well go with the flow, I guess.
Just commit to it. Don't cringe. It's the trend.
Yeah, I mean, I've accepted it and nothing I can do about it. So might as well accept it. But yes, the Autobahn is the Korean style Autobahn is the main point here. But personally, I have reservations. You and I drive in Korea, so we know what it's like.
We drive in Seoul. I'm hoping the circumstances down in Suncheon, did you say, might be a little bit different, but wait. We'll wait. Again, very early on in this blueprint unveiling. All right. Yeah. Let's move on to our third and fourth, I think, relatively related keywords. Policies on tackling the country's chronically low birth rate, our third keyword of the day.
Newborn inspection.
So during his visit to South Jeolla province, President Yoon checked on the operation of the so-called Newborn after school program for the new semester. What did he have to say?
Right. So at a meeting in Oryong Elementary School, he emphasized the importance of this program for the nation and promised to ensure its success and expansion to all elementary schools by the second half of the year. He shared a personal experience of visiting an after-school care center, noting its poor conditions and how it inspired him to support the national care system. Now, Yoon mentioned that supporting children is vital for national unity, and he highlighted that caring for children is a form of national national unity and can help prevent social class divisions from passing down to the next generation. Now, during the meeting, a parent suggested expanding the program to include fourth graders given enough budget, and Yoon agreed, promising to allocate the necessary funds. He acknowledged the challenges of running Nirbom schools in remote areas and directed local governments and the education ministry to pay close attention to these issues. He also suggested creating a platform to help schools easily find instructors and volunteers, making it simpler to set up programs. He also engaged with children taking selfies and signing autographs, and he emphasized his commitment to supporting education and care for children.
All right, let's move on to, I think, a related fourth keyword of the day.
Childbirth incentive.
At the core of it, it's to again tackle the country's low birth rate. Now, the finance minister, Choi Sang-mok, has emphasized a need for incentives for having even one child to address the country's low birth rate issue, not two or more children. Tell us more.
Yeah, so the government is pretty much in a desperate situation now. So they're trying to give incentives to just one child being born now. Mm. So, yeah, it goes to show that the situation is dire and the government is trying to tackle the issue. He was speaking during a talk at a luncheon for mid-sized company CEOs, and he noted that the current system mainly gives benefits to families with two or more kids. He also highlighted the need to increase job participation among women and young people to improve the country's growth potential. He connected the sharp decline, especially in the fertility rates in 2015, to the increase in women's economic activity. Now, although women's participation is still about 10% lower than in developed countries, he mentioned the trend of women increasingly choosing work over having children because simply the systems in place and the economic benefits or incentives are just not there for women to work and raise children at the same time. So there's work-life balance still in the eyes of these women and parents and the government alike seem like they're a bit lacking at the moment. Now, on the issue of tax burdens related to business succession in mid-sized companies, Choi promised to communicate with business owners for a significant reform within the framework of inheritance and gift tax revisions. Choi Jin-shik, the chairman of the Federation of Middle Market Enterprises of Korea, which hosted the talks, also emphasized the need to reform the tax system to prevent the loss of business capabilities due to heavy taxes burdening them. So, So if you're a parent expecting to have a child, then you may be entitled to some benefits. Mm. So we'll have to see if it comes to fruition. Mm. But yeah, in Korea, usually the benefits or any economic funds or funds to support funds are reserved for basically four-member households, right. Usually. That's kind of like the norm in Korea. But because there is an increasing number of those not having children, or three-member households, I think they're kind of revising their strategies a little bit.
The idea of a nuclear family has been quickly adjusting. So should these incentives meet the changing trends? The short answer is yes. All right, let's move on to our final keyword of the day.
Hector UNESCO listing.
So the South Korean government is keeping an eye on China's move to obtain UNESCO World Geopark certification for Paekdu Mountain, known as Changbai Mountain in China. What's the latest?
Right, so Seoul's foreign ministry noted that the ongoing 219th UNESCO Executive Board meeting is expected to discuss the new certification of the Paekdu Mountain area as a World Geopark based on its geological protection value. Now, China had applied to UNESCO in 2020 to have part of Paekdu within its territory certified as a World Geopark. Now, after receiving a preliminary recommendation for certification at a meeting in September of the previous year, the final decision is expected at the current UNESCO meeting. Usually, if the Geoparks Council recommends a site, the Executive Board will certify it unless there are exceptional circumstances. Thus, it seems likely that Paekdu Mountain will be designated as a UNESCO World Geopark under China's name. However, World Geopark applications typically cover only territories within a country's own borders. Now, Paekdu and its crater lake are split between North Korea and China, with about a quarter of the mountain and 55% of the lake falling within North Korean territory. So, yeah.
That sounds tricky. I wonder if there's precedents like such. We'll wait and see, but there's still, it seems, room to sort of battle it out, if you will, right? How much of the lake and how much of the mountain?
That's right. I mean, it's not much of a say of South Korea, but North Korea, maybe, how they will react. It will be interesting, especially considering that both countries, China and North Korea, are allies. So will there be a territorial dispute in regards to this? Mount Paektu or Paektu Mountain be regarded as a world geopark under China's name? So considering that 55% of the lake, which is kind of the highlight of that mountain, falls within
highlight,
territory.
Right.
Yeah, or the main kind of picturesque area of it. But there is only a quarter of the mountain within North Korean territory as well. So yeah, does this create some frictions between the two allies? That will be that remains to be seen. And what is South Korea's reaction to this as well? Although it doesn't really fall under South Korean territory, but does South Korea have a stake in it at all? So,
It is of clear symbolic value for North Korea and South Korea. So we'll wait and see what comes next. But first, we're waiting on North Korea's reactions. Thank you so much, Adam, for a week's worth of coverage. We'll do this dance all over again next Monday. Have a great weekend.
You're very welcome. Have a good world sleep day. I'll see you next week.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.